Time to stop talking.
Are you going to make me make feedback again? Is that the idea?
Yeah. You like that sound, don't you?
It's fun.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Hey, you know what the best news this week is?
What's the best
news? We have a new vendor.
A new vendor?
A new pizza vendor.
Yeah, we found a good pizza place.
Yeah.
A really good pizza place. I'm amazed.
I'm
really
stuffed after a slice and a bite.
Yeah. We're not used to that.
Pizza. How come I can't hear myself in these headphones as usual?
Probably because the headphones don't work.
Oh, do yours work?
Well, yeah.
Okay, then let me just throw mine across the room.
Okay. There you go. All right. Actually, we shouldn't throw headphones across the room. It's not considered the proper thing to do. Okay, that having been done, let us suffice to say that we have indeed found a new pizza place, and we're very happy. We're going to be in a much better mood now from now on, because this place is not as expensive, and it's better, and it's nearby. It's even nearby than the other one was, and they deliver right to our door.
Yeah, and
we can't say who they are, because
they deliver in Cadillacs, too.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well.
It was a nice, shiny Cadillac.
I think that's really classy.
Yeah, certainly is.
Well.
Well, hey, this is the 4th of July weekend. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, we have to introduce ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Who are you?
I'm Brianne O'Brien.
No, you're not Brianne O'Brien. Brianne O'Brien is in the newsroom.
Oh.
Stuffing herself with the leftovers of our pizza. In fact, here it is now.
I'm like Brianne O'Brien.
No, actually, I'm not.
What do you think of that pizza?
I am the president of the Brianne O'Brien fan club, however.
Well, that I believe. How's that pizza, Brianne?
Cool.
Well, of course it's cool.
Stick it in the microwave or bring it up to the transmitter room and stick it in front of our antenna or something like that.
Yeah, we were munching out on all that kind of stuff in the newsroom because there's no rug in the newsroom and we can make a mess in there.
And that's true. And it burns when you look at that red mark I have on my arm.
Oh, how did you get that?
Well, that's what happened when sauce spilled out.
Oh, that's why you screamed that time.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that was all about. A bit louder than that. You really...
Well, no. Did we say who we were?
Drove the cat crazy.
There is a cat in the library.
Yeah.
And it
left remnants behind.
It certainly did, and it smells terrible in there now.
Nothing like having a cat. This place is becoming more and more like a house. Look at this lamp we have.
That's
here
true.
Now.
We should actually turn this light off here.
I turn that light off. We also should thank Norm Preslin for bringing in this huge living room lamp that's right next to the microphone, and it makes you feel as if you're in a living room.
That's true.
It really does.
That's true. Now I like the globe effect of the base of it there. You can actually take a dime or a nickel or something and bang it. It has a nice resonant effect on it.
Get a dime or a nickel.
Well, you could use that.
Well, can I use a pen?
I think that might work.
Yeah, let me bring the mic over a little closer.
Hey, yeah. No, it didn't work too well. Let me try.
Well, let me take the telephone. That's better.
No, it shouldn't be working. I think that must have sounded terrible. Let's see.
Ooh, yeah. Good pitch.
And we also have a fan in here.
Don't put the mic next to the fan or else it'll chop the mic into little pieces. because there's no guard in this fan. In fact, I'm waiting for the day when someone sticks their finger through the thing.
Okay.
No, Mike, don't put your finger through it. Not on the air. I'm turning my mic off, Mike, so that we...
Then you're going to create terrible feedback.
No, I won't. Whoops.
Let's see now.
Don't stick your finger through there, Mike.
Why not? Wait, we gotta
you'll get blood on the microphone.
We gotta determine which direction this thing is going.
Well, at least get it away from my face, because I don't want to get all messy.
Yeah. I figured out which way it's going.
Wait. Not my pen, you think? Oh. How could you do that?
Wow, did you see the dust fly out? Did you ever try talking through a fan?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure you've tried everything. All right. Enough said about what's in this room that people on the radio on the other end can't
and
see.
And that's the fan I'm president of, the Brianne O'Brien Fan Club.
Okay. Where's the fan we had last year? The big humongous one.
Oh, that big humongous one.
We had one that was that went up to the ceiling, and it took three people to
oh,
carry it.
Oh, that one. Oh, the one they found downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to that.
That's a nice fan.
It is.
Wherever
nice
it is.
Fan. It was ridiculous. It would blow tone arms off of records.
It would blow papers, and it would blow books across the room. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Especially if you were able to turn it on from another room
and
just watch what happened.
Those hazy, crazy, lazy days of summer.
Yeah, well, you know, it brings back memories.
Yeah.
It being summer again.
The days of soda and pretzels and beer.
Yeah, well, have those days gone? Are they're not coming back? No more?
Well, no, they're back again. It's summer already.
Oh, I thought you were reminiscing on the days when we used to have soda and
true.
Beer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. The 4th of July?
It's coming up, yeah.
It's tomorrow.
Gosh. So we're going to have to play a whole bunch of patriotic songs.
Yeah, we'll have to. Remember what we did last year, Mike? What did we do last year? We called up information operators all across the country. In fact, we went to Canada once and asked an operator.
Well, we should have gone there a couple of days ago for Dominion Day.
We missed Dominion Day, didn't we?
Yeah.
July 1st.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, we still have Bastille Day in France, July 14th.
Keep that in mind.
We will. We'll call up maybe information operators
in
later
France?
On. Wherever we want to go, we can do anything, you know.
I was talking to a fellow today, a British fellow.
Uh-huh. And did he talk funny like they all do?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
And I asked him...
What gives them the right to talk like that, anyway?
I asked him... I don't know. I didn't ask him that.
Yeah, you should ask him that.
Okay.
I've got a good mind to call someone up right now and ask him that.
Who are you going to call?
An English operator, of course.
Oh, well, of course. Now, I asked him, do you celebrate Independence Day? He says, no. He kind of just dresses up and pretends, you know, pretends he's just a regular citizen. And I said, what happens if somebody talks to you?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, can you remember any really memorable 4th of July's? Now, last 4th of July, I was working. I was driving a limousine.
Oh, yeah.
And... What can I remember? I was driving on the Long Island Expressway, and I was seeing fireworks going off, you know, all over the island, big ones sometimes.
I remember.
And people on top of overpasses actually shooting them down into cars. Really sick people out there. But those are the memories that I get from that. Did it rain last Independence Day?
Oh, jeez.
I seem to remember a heavy downpour. It didn't rain, Brianne says. Well, if it didn't rain, then it was 2 years ago that it rained.
No, I don't think it rained then, because...
I know it rained in... No, it rained in 78, too.
I was
a good humor man in 1978.
Uh-oh, you're not supposed to say good humor on the radio.
Well, they went into business anyway, so it doesn't make a difference.
They did?
Well, they don't have the plant anymore in Lindenhurst that they used to have.
I see.
Which, if they did, I'd really get in trouble for saying what I just did.
I said
that they had a plant in Lindenhurst right next to the railroad tracks.
I see.
Yeah.
Right by Zach's Airport?
Yeah, right across the street from that, in fact. Right across the tracks, actually.
Uh-huh.
But that's not there anymore. In fact, you can still see the AC outlets where they used to plug in the trucks at night.
Oh, really?
To keep the ice cream cold. Huh. But anyway, I was an ice cream man that summer.
Did you have to wear white?
Yeah, no. They eliminated that.
Well, too bad.
Yeah, I could dress any way I wanted to.
Did you have a good sense of humor?
I'll ignore that. But July 4th is the height of the entire summer for them, because everybody's outside and everyone wants to buy ice cream on July 4th.
Except when it rains.
It was pouring. When I woke up that morning, I had never seen rain like that before, and I just sort of called in sick. Yes, I'll admit it. They didn't need me anyway. But nobody talked about July 4th for the rest of the summer.
Hmm.
In fact, there was a sign up, do not mention the words July or 4th in any context.
What about March 4th?
You could get away with that, I think. What were you saying?
I remember the only July 4th I remember was a good many years ago. I was just a little boy. And we went to the parade, and it started raining.
That seems to come into a lot of memories, doesn't it?
That's about the only... another July 4th I remember was in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
I remember... what was his name?
Gerald...
I think he was President Gerald...
Ford.
Ah, yes. Gerald Chrysler. Ford was president. He proclaimed that at 2 o'clock, everybody should ring bells. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? You do remember it.
Yeah, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, man, my neighborhood was going nuts.
Yeah, well, it shows you the kind of neighborhood you lived in, bunch of... No, at 2 o'clock p.m., everybody was to have rung bells. And I remember, because I was with a friend of mine who has one of these four-wheel-type vehicles that he was down on the beach at Smith Point with.
Uh-huh.
And he was driving along the beach. I looked at my watch, which I still have on, as a matter of fact, and it said 2 o'clock. I said, Jim, ring your bell. And he had one of these bells inside underneath his hood. He went, ring! So he rang his bell, and everybody was looking at, what's wrong with this character, you know?
Well, I was in New York City at that moment, watching Operation Sail.
Op Sail, yes.
And there must have been millions and millions of people there. It was really crowded. You could see a little bit, but not all that much. Mostly just people.
Just
a
bunch of sails, huh?
Yeah. Battery Park, mobbed, really mobbed. I'm surprised it survived.
That's very interesting that you should mention Battery Park, especially after talking about the Good Humor that had AC outlet in their parking lot.
I guess it all ties in. It's all sort of a, you know, you see all these coincidences, and it's all predestiny.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you keep coming across the same.
And it all started concept. With a conversation about that lamp.
It did, isn't it? Isn't it marvelous how things like this...
It certainly
just
is.
Run along. But I was going to say something about July 4th, 1976. I had fun that day. Yeah, I went down to Battery Park and watched all the ships and the people. And then I went over to Shea Stadium and caught maybe 45 minutes of a baseball game before I decided to go back to Battery Park and watch the fireworks, which were pretty interesting. But I remember hearing bells go off at 2 o'clock, but it wasn't very organized. That's because nobody could hear it with all the people there.
Yeah.
And there was also talk that everybody was singing patriotic songs while the fireworks were going off, while I was in the crowd, and they weren't doing that because nobody could see the fireworks.
Patriotic songs?
Yeah. Speaking of patriotic songs, we have a lot of interesting music lined up for tonight. If you have any suggestions, by you, I mean people out there, not in this room, you can call us up and... give us a suggestion, or if you would like to call up and tell us what Independence Day means to you, what the 4th of July means to you, or what independence means to you, or what America means to you, or what freedom means to you, or what talking or about anything means to you, give us a call.
Yeah.
What's our number?
I don't know. It's in the phone book. Why don't we just forget about giving out our phone number for tonight and just say it's in the phone book?
It's not in the phone... Well, I mean, it's in the phone book on the State University of New York at Stony Brook.
It's under WUSB Radio Star.
Yeah, but it's not in the phone book under WUSB, unfortunately. But if you call up information, they'll tell you.
They will?
But we're not going to be like that. We're going to give you the phone number, aren't we?
Why?
Because we're here. We should... I mean, we can't act all that...
Well, how do you know we're not on tape, 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 on tape?
Because if we were on tape, maybe I couldn't turn you off, which I just did. Correct? Good. Our telephone number is 246-7901. Area code 516. And this is a song from an album called The Hand That Holds the Bread, Progress and Protest in the Gilded Age.
Songs from the Civil War to the... the Columbian Exposition.
Done by the Cincinnati's University Singers.
With Earl Rivers, director.
And we're going to hear a song called A Future America. So sit back and listen to this. It may sound familiar, it may not.
On the voice of
Long Island.
Oh,
Hot stuff for you.
Yeah, Jah Rastafari.
When Johnny Comes Marching Home.
Sung by?
Bonnie Hamilton, soprano, and the Harmonion. I never saw that word before. Harmonion Sisters.
Harmonium?
I guess that's how you'd say it, but the way it's spelled is kind of funny. And Lawrence Skrobacz on piano.
Does it say who the Harmonium Sisters are?
I'm looking. I am looking, and I don't see anything anywhere. The Tony Randall is on this album, too. It's called Songs of the Civil War.
Why don't you pull that to Tony Randall?
Let me see if I can find out where Tony Randall is.
Why don't you give that to me, and you tell the folks what else we heard.
Okay. Oh, Tony Randall, narrator. He doesn't sing.
Well, let's hear him narrate.
Okay, well, I can just put the record right over here, and we can listen to him right away.
Okay.
You want to listen to him now? Here he is. Tony Randall, where are you? He's in there. Tony?
Tony.
Hey, Tony. Tony.
Anthony!
There he is.
From Shiloh. Arranged with a running accompaniment by Skedaddles. Beauregard's March.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You mean that's all he gets to say?
I guess so.
What a bum rap. Tony Randall is a great star, and all he gets to say is that.
Yeah, all he does is just intro Beauregard's March?
Yeah.
The nerve.
Oh, there he is.
Entrenchments at Corinth. Beauregard expects to reach our lines in time to attack our army on Saturday, April 5th, 1862. Beauregard's men, however, are unused to marching. A severe rainstorm on the night of the 4th drenches his troops in bivouac. Beauregard reaches the intersection of the roads from Pittsburgh and Hamburg on Saturday evening. The word of command.
You tell him, Tony.
The assembly call of the national troops.
Ow.
To arms! Of the enemy in the distance. The prayer of the national soldiers. Previous to the fight, the national troops offer up an invocation to the God of hosts for strength to defend the right and scatter the enemies of the Union. The signal gun! Forward, skirmishers by the right flank! Attack! Beauregard drives in our pickets. Beauregard advances on the division of General Pettis. Three regiments of Pettis's division are taken prisoners. Beauregard falls on our advance lines. Our entire advance lines under General Sherman and McClellan are... Generals W.H.L. Wallace and Hurlburt gallantly defend the reserve line for nearly 6 hours. General Wallace is mortally wounded, and Beauregard's forces occupy nearly all our camps. General Grant takes command! A.S. Johnson, the rebel commander, is killed. Beauregard comes within range of our gunboats. Tyler and Lexington belch forth thunders with terrible effect, while Colonel Webster places our guns in the best possible position. battlefield rival of General Buell's and General Lew Wallace's divisions. Beauregard withdraws his forces for the night. During the night, the fire from our gunboats compel Beauregard to fall back. Beauregard's forces are dispirited. Our brave troops sleep on their arms amid the cries and groans of the wounded. The morning dawns, Monday, April 7th. Beauregard is attacked by Generals Nelson and Lew Wallace. Beauregard is driven back, and we have regained the positions we occupied on Sunday morning. Beauregard in full retreat to Corinth. Our cavalry pursue the retreating columns of the enemy until night prevents further progress. Beauregard enters Corinth with his beaten troops. The recall of the cavalry. At the sound of the recall, our gallant cavalry give up the pursuit of Beauregard's scattered forces. On nearing their former position at Shiloh, our cavalry hear the bands playing our national melodies previous to the tattoo. The tattoo in the distance. At tattoo, all lights and fires are extinguished, and the men retire to their tents. Previous to retiring to their tents, the troops sing Jefferson Davis's Requiem to the tune of the New Dixie. Beauregard and Jeff Davis, having died in the last ditch, are carried down the stream until they reach the ford of a dark river, where they make the acquaintance of old Charon, an ancient ferryman, from whom they beg a cup of the waters of Lethe to enable them to drown the remembrance of their inordinate pride and ambition. Charon, acting under instructions, declines their request, but throws them gently over the Styx and conducts them to His Majesty King Pluto, in whose old dominion it is hoped they will ever be let alone and never be tormented by the presence of a Hessian, Lincolnite, or Yankee. At all events, this being the place farthest removed from unity is the proper one for the establishment of a kingdom in which the Yankees leave Jeff and company alone in their glory.
Yeah. All right, Tony Randall.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Boy, that's getting caught without anything in your...
Wow, Tony Randall.
Yeah.
I always wondered what Tony Randall sounds like at 45 when he's supposed to be at 33. Let's listen.
Beauregard's retreat.
I thought he sounded like that.
What does he sound like at 78?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he sounds like in dub.
I wonder what he sounds like backwards. Like anyone else backwards.
Hmm.
Well, Tony Randall is only human. We all know that.
Is he?
That's what they say. In fact, I read about that in the Daily News, that he is, in fact, human.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, most people are. Even us.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Well, folks who aren't on the radio, anyway. But speaking of humanity... Are you going to be with all the rest of humanity as they look towards the sky on Monday night and Tuesday morning?
What's going to happen then? Is that when the space shuttle's going to come down?
No.
That when there's going to be an eclipse?
Yeah, we're going to move between the sun and the moon.
Ooh.
And cast a dark shadow that will cover up the entire moon.
So that means we won't be able to see the moon.
It'll be, well, you know, it's funny.
Will it still be there? Is that like if a tree falls in a forest and there was nobody around to hear it, would it still
I'm
make
told
noise?
It will still be there. I have Joel Block's personal assurance.
You do?
Yes.
Check Jerry DeLisle. He would, that's one of his, he's been working on that for the longest time.
I can imagine. But
well, and if you brought a tape recorder in as well.
I was listening to one of our shows of last year.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about an eclipse last year at about this time, and we were saying how this is one of the best eclipses to happen in quite a few years and that we should really take advantage of it.
And it rained.
Well, no, it's not that so much, but here we are again a year later, and we're again saying the exact same thing. This is a really fine eclipse that only takes place once every few years. And it seems to me as if we keep coming across these events and saying they're once-in-a-lifetime events, and they keep happening.
Well, that just proves that you're a cat and you have more than
nine lives
or something like
that. In 1976, as I was talking about before, Operation Sail in New York City,
mm-hmm.
millions of people in the street and all that, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
To see millions of people in the street.
Yeah.
What about the rally?
It happened again with the rally. And it happened again with the Shoreham rally. And it's happening all over the place. And what I'm trying to say is these once-in-a-lifetime opportunities are not really once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. They happen again and again.
And again and again.
Well, maybe not that last one, but certainly three times.
Hmm.
I just wanted to get that off my chest. I feel better now because people tend to exaggerate once-in-a-lifetime events.
Suppose...
Did you see that catch by Willie Starge? Wow, once-in-a-lifetime. You know, it happens five times a week.
I suppose you do have a point there.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
If somebody was just about to kick off and he was like in his hundreds...
Yeah. Then odds are this would be a once-in-a-lifetime chance for him.
There you go.
Would you want to put that little catchphrase on
the disclaimer down at the bottom? This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is only in effect for those of you who plan to die within the next week.
But with the new nuclear arms race, that could be anybody.
Well, that's certainly something to look forward to, isn't it?
The moth just landed on your head. Oh, that looked really funny. Because he landed right on top of your headphones, and it looked like he had two little wings on top of your head. Wow.
I felt like a little angel.
Let's talk about the eclipse again. Do you remember the solar eclipse of a few years ago?
Yeah, when all the streetlights came on?
Yeah, and the birds started chirping. No, the birds stopped chirping.
That's what's happening.
And the crickets started chirping. And that brings
No. Crickets don't chirp. They cricket.
They cricket.
They go...
Well, before we start talking about
Actually, that sounded like a frog.
Because really? I do have something to say about crickets. But let's let Joel Block just say something about the eclipse.
During the night on Monday, July the 5th, anyone with a clear sky can see the moon turn blood red in total eclipse. For more about this incredible event, please join us right here Monday night for Stardate.
And this is the point where I'm supposed to say that Stardate is on every day at midnight and at 5:58 p.m. So tune in Monday.
To WUSB?
Stony Brook. Now, about crickets. Explain this to me, Mike, because I know you're into crickets secretly.
Okay, now I'm out of the closet.
What is the reason for my house being infested with crickets last year and not having a single one this year?
Luck.
What is the reason for no gypsy moth caterpillars this year?
Insecticide.
Do you really think so?
Could be. What do you mean, no gypsy moth caterpillars this year?
Very few compared to... Do you remember last year? They were all over the place.
There's certain...
Do you remember hanging out underneath a pine tree and seeing them eat the pines?
That's true.
It was really disgusting.
About this year.
Oh, it was awful.
But no, actually, the gypsy moths in certain areas are quite bad.
Well, remember they were
now
making the trees bare?
They are making the trees bare now.
Not as bare as last year.
Just go down Nichols Road and you'll look off of... go through Centreach and you can see some really bare trees.
Bare trees.
That's true.
That's not because of brush fires.
That's true. Another reason is because this year everybody has been wrapping these tape things around the trunks of their trees.
I see those all over the place.
Okay, that's another reason.
Well, I never could understand that, though. I mean, where are caterpillars born?
They're born in the eggs.
They're born on leaves to start with.
No, they're not born on leaves. They're born on trees, and then they go out, and then they drop down, and then they have to come back up the tree somehow.
Well, yeah, some of them do fall down. Okay, I can understand that.
And when they try to come back up the tree, they get clobbered in the little... they get stuck to the tape. It's like flypaper, you know?
But there are still other ones, and there are also 10 caterpillars, and they're already in the tree.
We're not talking about 10 caterpillars.
Oh, I thought we were.
No, we're talking about gypsy moths. Remember when Newsday showed a picture of a tent caterpillar's tent and called it gypsy moths?
Yeah. Oh, that was a huge blunder. But what caterpillars can do... Blunder.
Oh.
What caterpillars can do to get around that little tape at the bottom of the tree is... simply form a line of caterpillars.
Kind of like a caterpillar sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They all go into that area and stay there, and then the caterpillars behind them climb over the dead caterpillars and onto the tree.
I see, but if you...
Sort of like a story I read where ants were trying to get over, killer ants were trying to get over a river, and all the other ants just sacrificed themselves until there was a thick layer of ants.
Right on top of the river.
They just climbed right over, and then they were on the other side.
How deep was this river?
It was very deep. Well, it wasn't very deep. It was
a couple of feet.
I don't know who wrote the story. It's a famous story about ants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and killer ants. And they killed this guy. They ate him alive.
Yeah.
He wasn't alive by the time they ate him, but...
The guy who wrote the story?
No, not the guy who wrote the story. He wrote it in the third person.
Oh, I see.
You know, Owen saw an episode I heard an episode of Radio Mystery Theater.
Uh-huh.
It's a show that used to be on WOR Radio. And... Somebody was narrating a story, and in the end, he got killed. Bugged the hell out of me. How could he narrate the story if he was already dead?
Well, it's obviously going along.
No, he said, and then I got a call, and I went over here.
Oh, I see.
It was in the past, and...
Bang, I'm dead.
He didn't say that at the end. It just shot him, and he was... And that's when E.G. Marshall came back on and said, so-and-so...
And I am representing American Express.
We certainly got off the track.
Don't leave home without it.
Now we've covered everything.
Yes.
We've really covered everything. Did we mention before that we played the University of Michigan band?
No.
University of Michigan and Smiley Band. William.
Oh, boy.
Inside joke. William D. Reveille, conductor.
Wow, what a great name for a conductor of a brass section.
Reveille, yeah. We heard Stars and Stripes Forever on that one. And after that, of course, we heard Tony Randall.
And before that, we heard...
What did we hear before that? We heard the parody of... Well, speaking of parodies of patriotic songs...
Yeah.
This is something that is really pretty interesting, and you saw it before.
It was made parody of...
The Liberty Song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's probably, according to this, probably the most instantly popular American song of propaganda. And it was written in 1768 by John Dickinson, who lived from 1732 to 1808. And he lived in Pennsylvania. It was done to the British patriotic tune Heart of Oak. So the Liberty Song, which we're about to hear, is actually done to the tune of another song, The Case of England.
Yeah.
The song's acceptance was surely aided by its parody of the source with its resonant British patriotism. And here are some lines. Heart of oak are our ships. Heart of oak are our men. We always are ready. Steady boys, steady. We'll fight and we'll conquer again and again.
Steady boys, steady.
Now, the version sung here is taken from the Boston Gazette, July 18th, 1768. The Liberty Song is one of the very few propaganda songs to have had its tune printed with its text. Both appeared in Bickerstaff's Boston Almanac in Boston, 1769. So, very patriotic song we're about to hear. And I hope people listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, because why?
Well, because we'll be playing something afterwards that is...
A parody on this.
Yeah, and it's come from the same album, in fact.
So, the voice of...
Long Island. The Liberty Song.
join hand in hand, brave Americans all, and rouse your bold hearts at fair liberty's call. No tyrannous act shall suppress your just claim, or stain with dishonor America's name. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we live. Our purses are ready. Steady, boys, steady. Not as slaves, but as free men, our money will give. Our worthy forefathers, let's give them a cheer, who climates unknown did courageously steer. Through oceans, through deserts, for freedom they came, and dying bequeath us their freedom and fame. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we live. Our purses are ready. Steady, boys, steady, not as slaves, but as free men, our money will give. The tree there on hand had to liberty reared. They live to behold, growing strong and revered. With transport they cried, now our wish has we gained, for our children shall gather the fruits of our pain. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we live. Our purses are ready. Steady, boys, steady, not as slaves, but as free men, our money will give. Then join hand in hand, brave Americans all. By uniting we stand, by dividing we fall. In so righteous a cause, let us hope to succeed. For heaven approves of each generous deed. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we live. Our purses are ready. Steady, boys, steady, not as slaves, but as free men, our money will give. This bumper I crown for our sovereign's health, and this for Britannia's glory and wealth. That wealth and that glory immortal may be, if she is but just, and if we are but free. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we live. Our purses are ready. Steady, boys, steady, not as slaves, but as free men, our money will give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Liberty Song on USB. The voice of Long Island.
Yeah.
Patriotic song. A really patriotic song, don't you think?
It certainly is. It's really...
Had us all standing in March. Liberty Song.
Anyway, like I was saying, I was down the hall.
Oh, and what you're saying.
Had to adjust something down there. So I left the radio on, full blast. And it was really kind of weird walking down the hall hearing this guy singing, "Steady, boys, steady."
Yes. A song from a long time ago.
Yeah.
A very long time ago.
A whole bunch of a time ago.
Yeah, lots and lots of years and things like that, and decades, and centuries.
Even more months.
Months,
and
days,
even more days,
seconds. So we're about to hear what's known as the parody of the Liberty Song. Has the same type of structure to it.
Yes, it sounds remarkably the same, except the words are different.
Words are totally different.
Now, you said to me last week that you think that some punk rock band should make a tune out of this.
I think so. I think it would be a dandy song. Well, it's just...
It's really rebellious.
Yeah. Take a listen to it.
Come shake your donadels, ye pumpkins and all, and on that you met at the Liberty's call. No scandal of conduct can add to your shame. Condemned to dishonor, inherit the fame. In folly you born, and in folly you live. To madness still ready, and stupidly steady. Not as men, but as monkeys, the token you give. Such villains, such rascals, all dangers despise, and seek not at mobbing when mischief's the prize. They burst through all barriers and piously keep such chattels and goods the vile rascals can sweep. In folly you born, and in folly you live. To madness still ready, and stupidly steady. Not as men, but as monkeys, the token you give. Your brats and your bunkers by no means forget, but feather your nest, for they're bearing of yet. From the insolent rich, sure the poor knave may steal, who ne'er in his life knew the scent of a meal. In folly you were born, and in folly you live. To madness still ready, and stupidly steady. Not as men, but as monkeys, the tokens you give. Then plunder, my lads, for when red coats appear, you'll melt like the locust when winter is near. Gold vainly will glow, silver vainly will shine. But faith you must sculpt, you no more shall purloin. In folly you were born, and in folly you live. To madness still ready, and stupidly steady. Not as men, but as monkeys, the token you give. Then nod your punumskulls, ye pumpkins and balls. The bell takes the rascals, full horse guns and all. Your cursed old trade of forlorn men must cease. The curse and the dread of our order and peace. In folly you were born, and in folly you live. To madness still ready, and stupidly steady. Not as men, but as monkeys, the token you give.
Well, that kind of ended kind of quickly.
Yeah, but it was good. It was good while it lasted.
Now, who was the lead singer?
He certainly deserves a lot of credit because he sang both songs. He sang the original song and he sang the parody. Not back in those days, but today.
That was Seth McCoy.
Seth McCoy, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what does it say here, this parody?
What's the name of that record for anyone who might be interested in obtaining it?
This is a new World Records Series record.
One of those, huh?
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of these.
The white covers.
Yeah, with a New World 276. February of 1976.
Well, how about that? Before Operation Sail. And what's it called?
The Birth of Liberty, Music of the American Revolution. The Continental Harmony Singers, Neely Bruce, conductor.
Wow. Quite impressive stuff. And that's
the American Fife. And ensemble and the Liberty Tree wind players.
Ah, yeah. How cute.
Yeah. What's this you have here by The Clash?
What is this? This is a new song that came out. Well, I just got it today. Excuse me.
I could have turned your microphone down like that.
Oh. But I'm not coughing, though.
You just got it today, huh?
It's a new song. It's a big 12-inch single.
A big one, huh?
Yeah, and we played the new song 2 weeks ago and when it came out on the flip side of what is the same single. All right, let me try to explain this.
Yeah.
A 7-inch single came out 2 weeks ago. Rock the Casbah was on one side. On the other side was a new song called Long Time Jerk.
And oh, yes.
We played that.
That's right here.
Yeah, someone has it over there.
See?
Yeah.
See?
We played that. Now, this week...
It's a big single.
The 12-inch
a 12-inch single came out with the same song on side A as the 7-inch single, but a different song on side B, which is unreleased.
Which we're going to hear right
and
now.
And it's a version of Rock the Casbah, an instrumental version, and you can dance to it and scream and do all kinds of things like that. It's called Mustafa Dance.
What that is again?
Mustafa Dance by The Clash, sort of an instrumental new mix of
Rock the Casbah.
Yeah, now there are three versions of that song floating around. It's driving everybody crazy.
And Longtime Jerk isn't one of them.
No, no, that's a totally different one.
Totally different song altogether, completely different.
It's expensive to keep up with this band, you know. It really is. That's an import 12-inch single. I mean, it really runs up the bills.
I'm surprised you didn't get them all mailed to your house.
I'd like to.
You have an in with the Clash manager, right?
Well, yeah, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to ask for things that aren't, well, you know, I want to experience what it's like to be a real Clash fan, to go out and waste your money on
Well, how many Clash records are there in the world anyway? I mean, different ones.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you mean just albums or...
Well, let's just say albums.
Okay, let's just say albums then. Well, there's the first album.
Oh, by the way, it is 1 o'clock, and you are tuned to
WUSB.
Stony.
Brook.
No.
No. New York.
Now,
stop giving the zip code over the air, Mike.
794.
Okay.
Not illegal. Joel Block does it every day. He does it twice a day.
Not our zip code.
What?
Do you want me to actually go through this? Because it's kind of crazy.
Okay.
In England, there's the first album. In America, there's the first album. But they're two different albums in all. They are. They're two different versions of the albums. The second album, which actually is the first album in America because it came out before the first album did in America, is out in both countries. And the third album, London Calling, is the same. So is Sandinista.
And that's like a three-record set.
It is. And London Calling is a two-record set.
Okay, now where does Black Market Clash fit in?
Black Market Clash is a 10-inch album.
Uh-huh. So is that what they call a new disc?
Yeah, they call it a new disc. In fact, I think in Canada, it's a 12-inch record.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to go up there and get one of them to complete your
collection. Well, no, I don't really care about that so much. I'm just starting now to buy everything. I can't afford to go back in time.
I think I'm going to start shortly myself.
Well, it's interesting when you try
in fact,
following.
You know, I'm not gonna buy these. In fact, I'm gonna steal all yours.
Well, that's the easy way to do it.
Yeah.
If you follow someone like Elvis Costello, you really go crazy.
Hmm.
Just trying to keep up with all the things he puts out.
He comes out with something new every month. It seems
that way. Yeah, he comes out with singles and unreleased B sides, and picture discs and colored vinyl. And
yeah.
Books and it's crazy trying to keep up with them. And then you have England, you have Japan, you have the United States, all different. Everything's different. It drives you crazy. All bands are like this these days.
You know who else came out with a book?
Who?
Lou Stevens.
Lou Stevens has a book. It's called
A Rectangular Record.
Rectangular Record.
Yeah. It ruined our cartridge when we tried to put it on the turntable here.
Well, that was your own fault.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Playing a book on the air.
Say, now, do you want to dial the space shuttle?
That's interesting.
Making a U-turn, it's coming back at you. What we have here is a spacer for 45s. It's this aluminum disc.
We play with it all the time. There it goes. Whee! That's interesting the way it does that.
Coming back. It's coming right back at you.
It seems to have a mind of its own.
A bloomerang.
Let's get back to things that make sense. Okay. Enough playing with this thing.
You know, that's very funny because I was at work the other day and I had a Unitech 14-428-0202.
I don't think you're allowed to say that over the air.
Oh, which was similar in construction. It was made out of aluminum. It was a block of a round cylinder of aluminum.
As long as you said that, though, what is it?
I really don't know. It's just a Unitech, 14-428-0202. I was just hanging out on this guy's desk, so I started it rolling like this. This won't work because there's something in there. In any event, let's call up the space shuttle.
Yeah, well, I'm not stopping you.
Okay. So the number is, what is the number, 900?
Area code 900-410-6272.
Oh, no.
You can call this number up. And listen to the space shuttle.
S-A.
So we're going to find out what you're up to now.
It costs you big bucks to dial it, though.
Yeah. If they're not talking, you hear a beep every 10 seconds.
Yeah, you measured it, too.
Ah, there's the beep.
Yeah. And they're not talking.
Figures. Well, if they don't say anything, we're wasting our money.
Well, we should at least hear 6 beeps.
Okay.
Because that's a minute.
There's 2 beeps.
Actually, it's 5. Well, since we should also take advantage of the second minute because it's a cheaper rate.
I suppose, but, okay.
This is the 11 p.m. Central Daylight Time STS-4 NASA Broadcast News Service report from the Johnson Space Center in Houston. A note to editors follows this report. Saturday is the final full day of on-orbit operations for Space Shuttle Flight 4. The crew will be running through a series of activities leading up to re-entry Sunday morning. Astronauts Ken Mattingly and Hank Hartsfield will be conducting a test of the flight control system, which includes firing up an auxiliary power unit. A forward reaction control system thermal soakback test is also scheduled. The morning teleprinter message relayed up to the crew notes, among other items, that July 4th has been declared Hank and Fran Hartsfield Day in their home community of El Lago. This is Steve Nesbitt at the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston. Our next status report is scheduled for 2 a.m. Central Daylight Time, or earlier if conditions warrant. This is the NASA Broadcast News Service.
Yeah,
very interesting. Why do they give everything in Central Time?
Because it's in Houston.
And Houston is Central Time.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And there's the beep again.
There's the beep again.
Now, that wasn't coming from the space shuttle. That was coming from Houston.
Yeah.
But I guess the people in the space shuttle can listen if they want to.
You're probably asleep like we should be.
Yeah, I guess they are. Doesn't really make
like
sense.
Like all normal people should be. It's like 1 o'clock, 5 after 1 in the morning. It's 20 degrees Celsius, 68 Fahrenheit here in Stony Brook.
What else can you say?
This is the voice of Long Island, and we're listening to beeps from space.
Except that I have had 2 records that I left in my...
This is the 11 p.m.
Central repeating set. They repeat themselves.
I hung up on them.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I've had 2 records that I left in the backseat of my car one day.
Oh, what were they doing back there?
Well, you see, I was driving home with them late one night, and rather than have them in the front passenger seat and fall to the side every time I went around the curve, I decided to put them in the back where they wouldn't make as much noise.
And
consequently, when I got home, I
forgot
about them. And then the next morning, I woke up, and, of course, it was a bright, sunny day. Car was about 200 degrees inside.
Was that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
I don't know, but it was hot enough to totally bend the records out of shape. So a couple of people told me, might as well throw them down the toilet. No good, you know, no hope for them at all. Other people said...
It looked like that ashtray we made that time, huh?
We melted a record, that's right.
It was an air supply record. I felt so good doing it.
Well, maybe we can talk about that later. But some people said if you put it under weight for a long period of time, sometimes it helps. Sometimes it does. Now, we have these weights here at the station, these big lead weights.
They're not lead. They're iron.
Or whatever they are. They're very heavy. And we have about 200 pounds of weights that were just lying around doing nothing. So I figured I'd put them to use. So I put my 2 records on the floor, and I put the weights on top of the records. And so for the past 2 months, my 2 little records have been underneath 200 pounds of weight.
Uh-huh.
And tonight
is the night.
Tonight, live over the Voice of Long Island, I'm going to lift up those weights.
And we're going to try to play those records.
And we're going to see what happened to those records. Now, other people have been telling me, don't do it. You're a fool. If you lift up the weights now, the record will bounce back into even worse shape, and you'll have to start all over again. Now, if there's anyone out there with inside information on how to unwarp a record, or if such a thing is possible, by all means, give us a call and just let's hear from you. I want to hear some advice on this. I'd like to do that.
Our number is in the phone book.
We'll tell you the number, but
actually, that's the wrong number that's in the phone book.
If it's okay with you, Mike, I'd like to do this right after the news at 2 o'clock.
Why don't we do it now?
Because we have to build up the suspense a little bit. And besides that, the tripods have to get ready. There are lots of things
that
need to be done.
Well, we were talking about Americans and American traditions.
But we didn't give out our phone number, and we should.
Oh, yes.
246-7901.
Well, we were talking about Americans and American traditions.
Now you can continue where you left off. Just anytime you're ready.
Okay. Well, we were talking about Americans and American traditions.
Excuse me, is a 7-second delay on?
No, that happens. No, not that tonight.
Whoops, there it goes again. Okay.
It's coming back.
Just keep talking. Don't pay attention to that thing.
We were talking about Americans and American traditions.
Yes, you get a thought across.
With the birth of America, the fourth anniversary of the 202nd birthday of America coming up in a couple of days. I think one of the most sacred of American institutions is divorce.
Why part of that can't take it no longer? I just can't take it no longer. See? Boy, I shall ruin my life, boy. I'm getting divorced in the evening. Oh, Bob Susan get a lot of beating.
Why?
Me give her plenty money to look up for me yellow baby. So take me to the family court and talk. But listen, man, me just up in a jacket, me just up in a tie. As we reach the court, the girl a tell lie. The judge say, I know you never loved that guy. They tell me your Anna, why she married I and I. Put her in the kitchen to fry some chicken. Put her in the kitchen to boil some rice. Let me see where she do me bad, Jesus Christ. She burn up the chicken and go curry the rice. I'm getting divorced in the evening. Oh, Bob Susan get a lot of beating. Me give her plenty money to look up for the yellow baby. So take me to the family court and talk. Well, it's a man. Me want Susan, she a plenty man. She have three of them, we live a Portland. She one of them a man, one of them a Byron. And one of them a soldier in a upper jam. Me pack up me thing and go to the door. Me wave my hand and say goodbye Susan. Say as we meet you get it, you see, sing one song. Come back darling, give me another try. Why y'all, I knew it satisfied, yeah. I'm getting divorced in the evening. Oh, Bob Susan get a lot of beating.
Tell me why.
Me give her plenty money to buy feeding her so nappy. As night comes, she gone let the yellow baby. But it's a man. Me love Susan, till me go a older man. Me love Susan, till me go a older man. The older man say, I beg you stretch out your hand. Me stretch out me hand and then he read my palm. He open the Bible, he read one psalm. He say, yellow man, I go and tell you where they gone. Better than for you, woman, them just gone. Me no want, me no want, the fat in your man left. Me no want, me no want to fat head in your man left.
Why?
Fat head walk a mile and a half. Me na yo gungo walk, lad. Fat head walk a mile and a half. Me na yo gungo walk. No why? I'm getting divorced in the evening. Oof, bad shoes and get a lot of beating. Me give her plenty money to look up for the yellow baby. So take it to the family court and die. Police on man.
had a piece of pie, whole piece of pudding. Gave it all away for to hug Sally Gooden. Sally Gooden. Well, I look down the road and I see my Sally coming. Thought to my soul that I'd kill myself a running. Kill myself a running.
Version of Sally Gooden, and they're famous for all sorts of different things. We've got this album here we have in the station that we occasionally go picking through.
Virginia is the place I want to be,
and it's pretty interesting. I had Adam Klein up, which is a studio, during my show a few Thursdays ago. It was rather interesting, and I guess I might as well plug their concert. Yeah, Zing, the group, is having a little concert tomorrow night. Well, actually, it's today. Later on today, at around 7... Well, actually, I think the concert itself starts at about 8:30. It's over here in Setauket. Plus, for all of you dub fans, they're going to have a tape delay session or something like that for about an hour, starting about 7:30. And it's in Setauket, and I guess you could wait to a more respectable hour and call up 751-4508 if you want directions on how to get to the Setauket Neighborhood House. Yeah, over here in neighboring Setauket. Yes. Well, I'm Mike Juhas, and Eric Corley's in the other room, and he should be out in a moment, so I'm just going to babble along for a couple of minutes. Excuse me here. Taking a look at the USB Long Island weather forecast for tonight. You look for partly cloudy skies at lows 55 to 60 around, except around the mid-60s near the shore. And tomorrow, increasing cloudiness with a 70. With a 40% chance of showers toward evening, highs in the low 70s. It figures, isn't it really? Tomorrow's Saturday, and of course it's going to rain. So I didn't even have to read this thing. You would have all known that. Actually, last Saturday was pretty nice.
It rained last Saturday.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
But during the day it was very nice.
It was hazy during the day.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know. I was working on the house instead of being down at the beach. Figures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday, considerable cloudiness with a 40% chance of showers, highs in the 70s. Look out for Monday, fair and seasonably warm. Well, that's reasonable, I guess.
What else?
Yeah. Do you want to go in there and see if Eric is about ready to come in here? No, actually, I'm trying to get hold of Eric. Let's see now. Maybe I can do this for me. No, I can't do that. That doesn't work anymore. What to do? Ah, yes. I hear him in there rewinding a tape. And so I guess he should be in here in a minute. I need Eric in here right away. Here he comes. What are you doing? Well, I'm yelling for you. We need you to sing backup vocals.
Backup vocals?
Yeah, get down to your microphone here. Oh, yes.
Just my fool with you.
comes up for you. Stanley Fisher, and I'd like to invite you to enroll in the all-new Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School. You may ask, why do I need to know offensive driving? Well, I'll tell you. Don't ask stupid questions. You know as well as I do that the roads are filled with morons, idiots, bimbos, chuckleheads, lame brains, dimwits, clods, fools, meatheads, turkeys, jerks, and imbeciles. And if you want to become a competent driver, you're going to have to learn how to deal with these losers. The Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School shows you how. Not just by showing you books, but by taking you out on the road. Now, here's a typical traffic jam. What most people don't know is that a traffic jam is caused by one or two people who just don't know how to drive. They see a school and they slow down. They give other people right of way. They try to get along with everybody on the road. Well, here at the Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School, we teach you how to deal with these situations. Watch.
Hey, what the hell is wrong with you people? I gotta be somewhere in 10 minutes. Come on, get the load out. Move it. Hey, hey, you, I'm getting pretty tired of looking at your bumper sticker. Get out of my way, huh? Come on.
Hey, did you see the gesture that guy made at me? Watch how a professional driver handles the situation.
Hey, your mother, he wears army boots, you creep.
And look at that, now he's getting out of his car. I'll tell you, some people just don't know the first thing about driving.
What'd you say about my mother?
Another problem you may encounter is the tailgater. Now, when you feel like going slow, there's no reason why you should have to deal with these clowns behind you. There are two ways you can treat them. Make sure the tailgater is within a few inches of your rear bumper and start to speed up so that he'll do the same. Then, lock your brakes and you'll certainly teach him a lesson. Or, if that's not enough and you're on a two-lane highway, wait until you see an oil tanker or something approaching in the other lane. Then, wave the tailgater on and let him pass you. And, if he's as stupid as you think he is, instant satisfaction. Finally, you'll need to protect yourself against radar speed traps and other nasty, undemocratic things. If, however, you should fall into one, you'll need to know how to drive to escape police harassment and maybe a few bullets. High-speed chases, just one of the many things that Stanley Fisher's Offensive Driving School teaches you all about. So don't delay. If there's a Stanley Fisher outlet near you, drop by today before it moves to another town. Our rates are reasonable, $2,942 plus tax, and senior citizens are eligible for 2% off. The Stanley Fisher Offensive Driving School. It's the only way to learn to drive.
Just moving, just stepping. It was good listening to Robert of Yankin. Do it!
Right.
Flash it. Tommy said, yo, said, oh, rubber duck time, no. Say, yo, said, oh, rubber duck style, no. Say, give me a little solo, Jack.
Bim!
Can you pick give me a little solo, Jack?
Right.
Come with me, knock me head from the tambourine. And at it, knock him head from the tambourine. I call them love it in a one-drop style. Come on, cause it, them love it in a one-drop style.
Bim!
Tommy say, give me a little solo, Jack.
Right.
Can you play give me little solo, ja?
Bim!
Come and say, yo, yo, rubber duck style. Turn up in a diggy to that a wagada.
Bim!
Love how the dread them want. German come and say love how the ball it want.
Bim!
Come and say love how the whole world want.
Bim!
Come and say yo, say do, rubber dub style low. Say yo, say do, rubber dub style low. Say give me little solo, ja.
Right.
Can you be give me little solo, ja?
Bim!
Cause some love it in a one drop style. Tell man some love it in a rubber dub style. Cause some of them love it when the rhythm well wild.
Right.
Say do, say yo, rubber dub style low. Say yo, say yo, rubber dub style no. Can't it look up in Timber, come feel my shit up no. Say yo, say yo, say some of them a yo. They give me little solo, ja.
Right.
Can you be give me little solo, ja? Bim, come and say strictly rubber dub and we a play. I'm a strictly rubber dub and we a play. Cause some of them a skank and some of them a rubber. Them come in at the dance and them come in at the club. Bim, come and say yo, yo, rubber dub style now. Hey, yo, yo, rubber dub style now. She give me little solo, ja. Bim, can you fi give me little fate, oh, ja.
Right.
Can you fi give me rubber dub, oh, ja. Bim, cause some love it in a German style. German to some love it in a uptown style. Bim, come and say yo. Yo, rubber dub style no. Can yo, come feel my shit up no. Say yo, rubber dub style no. Some a do it in a one drop style. Some of them a do it in a ghetto man style. Bim, come and say, love your brother. Say love your sister. One love in a ghetto that a wadada. Bim, say love in a ghetto that a wadada. Come and say yo, no, make we mash it up, no. Say yo, rubber dub style, no. Say give me little solo, ja. Bim, so you be give me little solo, ja. Bim, come rubber dub and where the whole world love. Them do it in a dance, some do it in a club. Some in a them house, this a skank from the rub.
Right.
Can you be give me rubber double right now, eh? Can you be give me rubber double right now, this? Come and say loving a big it to that wadada. I'ma say loving a big it to that wadada. Come and say yo, yo, rubber dub style no. Say yo, rubber dub style no. Cause we clear rubber dub and we a play. As we clear rubber dub and we a play. Cause it no matter what them do, cause it no matter what them say. Cause it look up in gym band and the boss DJ. Cause I see me love up on the kings I wear. But I yo, yo, rubber dub style no. Thank you.
Boys and girls. Wow, who was... Oh, jeez, I don't even know what I'm doing here. Oh, that was a version of Wake Up to Break Up by Delroy Wilson. And I'm Bob Tripod, making a special guest appearance on The Voice of Long Island. And right now it's 1:42 in the morning, 19 degrees on that newfangled Celsius scale, and that's about 66. On the gosh darn Fahrenheit scale, time now for the Tripod Family.
Radio Free Long Island, with next to no support from the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents another episode of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we look in on our friends this week, the scene is the Amalgamated Hospital in Huntington. And as we focus in, we hear the telephone.
Amalgamated Hospital, Italiani speaking. What's that? Charlie Davenport? No, he's not here. No one's here at the moment. Is this Dr. Phillips?
Yeah, Doc. I was expecting about 10 minutes ago, and so far there hasn't been... Wait a minute. Hold on. I think this might be him.
Your name, Italiani?
Yeah. What about it?
Sign here, will you?
Yeah.
Okay, pal. He's all yours.
Thanks. Well, Doc, yeah, that was... hold on. Did you want something else, fella?
Oh, no. I'm leaving now. Oh, yes.
Okay, just close the door behind you.
Yes.
Well, Doc, that was Davenport they just delivered. So let me know what you...
Heavy patient, you know. Oh, I wheeled him all the way up from the sub-basement.
Really? Well, thanks again. Hello, Doc. Yeah, so I was saying...
I had to wait 10 minutes for an elevator, too, you know. Oh, boy.
Look, I said thanks. What do you want me to do? Give you a... Wait a doggone minute here. Well, just hold on. This isn't a hotel. This is a hospital. And a darn good one, I might add. Now, let me get back to work. Hello, Doc? Yeah, I'm sorry about all that. The guy who brought up Davenport wanted me to tip him. Can you believe that? What? I am supposed to tip him. Oh, gosh, I didn't know that. I just can't get used to the rules around this place. Oh, hey, listen, Doc. Davenport's starting to wake up. What do you want me to do with him? Uh-huh. Okay. You really want me to do that? Okay, that sounds like fun. Yeah, I'll take care of it, Doc. No, don't worry. Don't worry about a thing. Now, you go on back to bed and sleep it off. So long. Now then. Uh-oh. He's coming too. Mr. Davenport. Mr. Davenport, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Where am I? Oh, what a horrible dream.
Oh, thank goodness you survived, Mr. Davenport.
What happened?
Well, you were in a horrible accident, Mr. Davenport. We had to put you in suspended animation until we found a cure for all of your broken bones.
Suspended animation?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's now April 2076. Yeah, we found a cure yesterday.
2076? You must be joking. How could that have happened? Huh? What kind of an accident was I in?
Oh, you were in quite an accident. Yes, sirree, quite an accident.
Well, what happened?
What? Oh, you don't expect me to know that. Well, you see, it being 2076 and all, we really don't have any idea what it was that happened to you. But as you can see, we've totally repaired you.
This is very strange. You know, I could have sworn that I was in the Amalgamated Hospital in Huntington, being treated for a gunshot wound.
Really? How very odd.
Yeah. In fact, it was the doctor, Dr. Phillips, I think, who shot me in the first place. And you know why he did it?
Why?
So that he could force me to pay him some ridiculous amount of money that he said I owed him.
Hmm.
The last I remember, he was threatening to keep me in the hospital forever unless I paid.
There, Mr. Davenport. You've been in hibernation for well over 100 years. It was just probably a bad dream.
It seems so real. Maybe it was a dream.
Oh, of course it was. Now, you just get some rest, and we can talk about checkout time.
Checkout? Now, you mean I'm still in the hospital?
Well, we don't exactly call them hospitals anymore, Mr. Davenport. You're in what's known as a repair facility.
Repair facility?
Yeah, and now it's time for you to be reintegrated with society. That is, as soon as you pay our bill.
Well, I guess I do owe you quite a bit. If this is 2076?
Yes, that's right.
Then you've kept me alive for quite a while.
Yes, and the average lifespan now is over 200 years.
Over 200 years?
That's right.
Well, that settles it. I'll pay you whatever you want. What a miracle. Let me have that bill.
Yeah, here you are, Mr. Davenport.
All right. Let me just get my check... book.
What's the matter, Mr. Davenport?
That's the exact same amount I owe Dr. Phillips.
And so Charlie begins to fall into a trap set for him by the Amalgamated Hospital. Will he realize his error before it's too late? You'll want to be with us next time when we'll hear Dr. Phillips say... That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a co-presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This has been Don Topeka. Oh,
we're hearing some very interesting music from a really fine band. The album's called The Age of Electronics.
Electronicus.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that. The Age of Electronicus.
That's Dick Hyman and friends.
Wow. And this album came out? What year? How long ago?
Quite a while.
Quite a while. There's no year in it anywhere, I think. It's got some selections as Obladi, Oblada.
It's before they started putting out, putting dates on albums.
Blackbird, Aquarius, Time is Tight.
Ooh.
Done by Booker T and the MGs originally.
And then by The Clash subsequently.
Yes. So, the time is
1:55
in the a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in 1965, you know, like in the jet set, wearing a pair of dark shades in the middle of the night.
Yeah, this
in
is
a Batman segment.
You want to get the dark shades? We have them somewhere.
Oh, we got a lampshade on the lamp.
Okay, that's good enough. What's the temperature in Stony Brook?
1966 Fahrenheit.
1966. Hey, 1 year off. Very good. What's that on the USB scale? That's
85.
For those of you who don't know, the USB scale is Celsius plus Fahrenheit. And it will be the scale of the future.
Yes.
Checking out the news at 1:55 in the morning. Two British correspondents who are with the British task force in the Falklands say the war's worst loss of life came as men watched films on board a landing vessel. 50 men were killed when the Sir Galahad was hit. Reports at the time were censored. Now, the astronauts on the Columbia will spend 3 hours Saturday making preparations for their landing at Edwards Air Force Base in California.
Are you quite all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I told you this isn't going to work out.
This is a very serious story. Unemployment rates are holding steady at 9.5%. Jobless rates for June out Friday hit post-war highs for adult men, teenage blacks, and white-collar workers. And Kathy Evelyn Smith denied in a broadcast interview Friday night. Yeah, it's her name. Kathy Evelyn. That she gave actor comedian John Belushi a fatal injection of heroin and cocaine. Los Angeles police are in Canada to question the woman who was with Belushi the night he died. Mike?
Thank you, Eric. Would you do me a favor and run into the newsroom? I left a story in there about the lunar eclipse.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy!
Construction to convert three buildings at the Pilgrim State Psychiatric Center in Brentwood into a medium security prison continues following yesterday's ruling by a state appellate court. A trial on the issue will be held next week in state Supreme Court. The ruling is seen as a defeat for residents living near the state mental hospital, Suffolk County, and the towns of Islip, Huntington, Babylon, and Smithtown, which are trying to stop the state from placing prison inmates at the hospital. The four appellate division judges listened to oral arguments for 1 hour yesterday before modifying a temporary restraining order issued Wednesday by State Supreme Court Justice James Gowan. That would have halted the work. Thank you. The appellate division judges are allowing construction, which is 85% complete, to continue. At the same time, however, the judges prohibited the state from transferring any prisoners to Pilgrim State Hospital until the trial is held and Justice Gowan has issued a decision. Your headphones are on the floor over there. Justice Gowan is scheduled to begin hearing arguments in Riverhead State Supreme Court on Tuesday. The appeals court said it would allow his restraining order to remain in effect only until July 10th to expedite his decision. The basic complaint of residents is the prison will place up to 1,000 prisoners too near their homes. Governor Hugh Carey has pointed out the inmates of the new facility, which is an inexpensive way to help alleviate overcrowding in the state prison system, will predominantly be arrested Long Island residents. Earlier this week, Carey asked, should we then stop arresting people on Long Island because we can't put them in prison on Long Island? Back to you.
Well, what was the answer to that question? Or was it a redundant question?
It says NYC CTNJAB.
That means it's the end of the story.
APNY 07038201090.
That's a very good answer. Well, I'd like to at this point say that immediately following this newscast, we will, as promised, be lifting the weights off my records, which have been in this room for 2 months. They were warped records left out in the sun, and we will be finding out if 200 pounds of weight for 2 months does any good for warped records.
I bet you somebody stole them.
That'd be a horrible thing to find out. If you've warped your records and you want to know if there's any hope, well, stay tuned, because we're about to find out ourselves. Independence Day on Long Island. Yes, there are a number of activities on Long Island this Independence Day weekend. Dozens of communities will have fireworks shows, and hundreds of individual people as well. Also on Sunday, July 4th, there will be a day-long celebration at Eisenhower Park in East Meadow, Long Island, with entertainment. The highlight will be an 8 p.m. performance by the Suford Band of Nassau County at the Harry Chapin Lakeside Theater at Eisenhower Park. Also on Sunday the 4th, the old Bethpage Village in old Bethpage, New York, will turn the clock back to 1851 with a full day of activities starting at 10 a.m. with a fiddler's concert at the Noon Inn. And at 12:30 p.m., the Manhasset Temperance Society will hold its annual picnic, also at the Noon Inn at the old Bethpage Village. Then on Monday, July 5th, the annual Independence Day Parade will be held in Southampton. The parade starts at 10 a.m. at the Southampton Railroad Plaza, goes down North Main Street, and Job's Lane to the monument. And there will be floats and marching bands, and the Shinnecock Indians from the nearby Shinnecock Indian Reservation will be taking part with their traditional dances. Mike?
Why does it sound that you know what you're talking about so much? You're just really getting into it.
Because July 4th, it's supposed to be the most exciting holiday of the year, Mike.
Yeah.
And it should be that way again.
Huh.
It really should.
Okay, well, New Yorkers will be able to see the longest total eclipse of the moon visible in the Western Hemisphere in 246 years on Tuesday.
246 years?
That's right.
Is that really true? Then this is a once in three lifetimes.
Or once in one lifetime if you're living in 2076, as John Davenport.
Certainly.
William Gooch, chairman of the museum's Hayden Planetarium, says the latest total lunar eclipse, when all of the moon passes through the darkest part of the Earth's shadow, will officially begin at 12:22 Tuesday morning as the moon begins to enter the Earth's shadow. He says observers will notice no immediate change in the new moon's appearance, but at about 1:30 in the morning, the moon will begin to enter the darker part of the shadow. The total lunar eclipse will be starting at about 2:38 in the morning and last until 4:24 in the morning.
You going to stay up for it, Mike?
I don't know.
I know I am.
Wow.
In fact, we were thinking of having a USB eclipse party somewhere.
That's a great idea.
Well, would you like to organize that? I mean, it's Barry Reagan's idea, actually, but we could just say, folks, be somewhere at 2:38 in the morning, and we'll give you bumper stickers. But
wow.
Where's a good place to be for an eclipse?
Someplace dark.
Yeah.
Gutch says the moon will emerge from the shadow and the eclipse will be over by 5:30 Tuesday morning. Unlike an eclipse of the sun, there is no danger in observing a lunar eclipse, according to museum astronomers. They advise eclipse watchers to watch the celestial event from a location with a good view of the southern and western sky. Yeah. You got to take a look at the weather?
Okay, let's take a look at the weather. Hey, look at that. Oh, golly.
Well, look at it.
Well, let's look at the Long Island. Oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Current temperature in Stony Brook?
20.
It is 20 degrees on the Celsius scale and 66 in the Fahrenheit?
68
in the Fahrenheit. So now it's 88 degrees USB scale.
That's correct.
Tonight we're expecting it to be partly cloudy, lows 55 to 60, except in the mid-60s near the shore. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness with a 40% chance of showers towards evening. High will be in the low 70s. And then tomorrow night, considerable cloudiness with a 40% chance of an occasional shower, lows 60 to 65. On Sunday, considerable cloudiness with a 40% chance of showers, highs in the 70s, and the outlook for Monday, fair and seasonably warm. And at this time, advisories in effect for Long Island waters are none.
Well, it's 2:04, and it's time for our 2 o'clock album side on W...
Not yet.
Wait a minute. On WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Okay, but actually, before that, is time for Eric to check to see his...
Yes.
Records.
Now, this has been a very trying period for me because, well, a couple of months ago, I lent some records to a friend of mine, and this friend did something that not too many friends do.
Which is?
Gave them back. And I took them, and I put them in my car driving home.
Wow.
And as soon as I started to drive around, it became obvious that I couldn't put the records right next to me on the seat, because every time I made a turn, the records would slide over the seat and fall onto the floor. And that was bad news, because, well, then they fall out of the inner sleeve, and there'd be records all over the floor, and they get scratched. So for the interest of my records, I decided to put them in the back seat, where they wouldn't roll around so much, where they'd stay put. And, well, consequently, on the way home, my mind went into various stages, and I thought about other things. So by the time I got home, I had totally forgotten about my records. And I left them in the back seat. The following morning, when I got up, I suddenly, like a little light bulb above my head flashed, and I said, oh boy, I left my records in the back seat of my car, didn't I?
And when you say the following morning for you was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Exactly. So when I ventured out to my car, the records were there, and they had, in fact, been touched by the sun quite a bit. Actually, there were 3 records, and one record still plays. If I adjust the weight on my tone arm, both sides will play, and they'll play fine. But these 2 records, unfortunately, they were a bit more severely damaged. And I could not put my tone arm on it without having it fly throughout the air. Now, these are 2 Clash records, and one is an import. So, obviously, it's very important to me that these records be saved. So I asked around, tried to find out how many people knew what to do for warped records, and most people said there's absolutely nothing you can do for warped records. Once a record is warped, you might as well throw it out. It's no good anymore. Other people said, no, there is hope. You can put your records under weights for a long period of time, and sometimes, if the grooves are not too badly damaged, they will be fixed. Now, people have given me all sorts of times that I should keep records under weights for, ranging from a couple of weeks to 6 months. So I've had them under 200 pounds of weight here in the studio for about 2 months now. And I have just about run out of patience waiting. So right now, live over the air, I'm going to go in back of all our transmitting equipment where these records are, and I'm going to pull off the 200 pounds of weight and see just what happened to my records. Now, this is the first time I think anyone's ever done a broadcast from way back here. This is all electronic equipment, and I'm sticking my head in right now.
Why don't you stick the mic in and see if we can pick up a hum from something?
Can you hear any hum?
No.
This is very quiet equipment. I don't think anything hums.
Mm.
Maybe this hums. There you go.
Yeah, a little bit of hum.
But not very much. But back to the issue at hand. I can see a couple of my records now. I can see the covers of my records. Now I'm going to start taking off a little bit of the weight at a time. And just to let you hear what the weight sounds like, I'm going to take 2 pieces and clink them together. They're very heavy. There are lots of them, too. So I must be careful the way I do this, because the record could crack, and then I know there's nothing you can do for a cracked record. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever warp a record, Mike?
Yeah.
And what did you do when you warped your record?
Well, they're still warped. You know, I wish I'd have known you were going to attempt this experiment, because I would have given you my warped record.
Yes, but you see, these have been here for a good 2 months.
Well, my records have been warped for longer than that.
Yeah, but these have been underweight.
And my mind has been warped for even longer than that.
Uh-huh. How did you warp your records?
What stupid thing did you do?
Nothing. They just automatically warped.
I mean, they automatically warp. Records don't warp unless they have a good reason to.
Well, maybe I threw them down on something. I don't know.
Yes, Mike, you're a violent person.
Yeah.
Always throwing records around rooms. There's a moth back here. Just
that
flying
the
in my... Oh, wait, I'm being attacked by a moth.
Was that the moth?
Get away, get away.
Was that the moth that was
Yes.
On my headphones?
It's the same moth that landed on top of your headphones before. And, oh, wow, a lot of weights here. These are the heavy ones. Oh, boy. Bear with me. I'm getting the weights off. About two-thirds of the way done. And let's all hope for the best. This is truly a radio first. Saving records on the air. Listen to those weights. Okay, this big box here is almost empty. Of course, I'm going to have to put all these weights back in the box after I finish, which is going to be a fun job to undertake. Getting to the last weight on this box, and I'm lifting the box up now, and I see my record for the first time.
Whoa.
I see my record for the first time in a few months. Getting the remaining weights out of the second box. These ones have more of a musical sound. What are you doing with that thing, Mike? Oh, dear. Oh, okay. For a moment there, I thought the record had somehow gone through the box. You don't know what 200 pounds of weights can do to a record. Okay. I have recovered the records. The records are in my hand. And there's a big bug on them, too. All right. I'm stuck back here.
Is it a squished bug?
No, it's not. It's a bug that just walked onto my records.
Is it a Volkswagen bug?
Okay, Mike. Here are my records. Now, let's take a look at them. One at a time.
You got rust all over them.
Yeah, they did get kind of rusty.
I'd say the best thing to do... Oh, jeez. No, wrong.
You think it still works?
Oh, look at it. Oh, it's like that pizza we had before. Wow.
Why don't you try playing it?
Is this a 45?
Oh, no, it's a 33.
Jeez.
Didn't do a damn bit of good, did it?
That is terrible.
Maybe it did do a little bit of good.
I've never warped records like this. This is going to sound great on the air. You know what we could do? We could put this little weight on here.
No, it doesn't do a bit of good. Well, okay, this is the one that really counts, though. This is the import version of the first album.
Yeah.
Let's see if that does any good. This is truly a sad occasion.
This looks a little better.
Okay, let's hope.
Just a little.
Put it on the first. Don't put that big weight on top of the tone arm, because then it'll just grind into the record. Now, let's see if Career Opportunities will play. That's the first song inside, too. Drum roll. Okay, here we go. All right, now try it with the weight. What is he doing? Stop that. You're pushing the thing across the record, I don't believe it.
Well, does that answer
stupid
your question?
Fool, yeah, that's a good word. Well, I guess what's behind all this
is that you should never leave $100 worth of Clash records out in the sun.
Well, it wasn't $100 worth of Clash records, but it might as well have been, because it was a very dumb thing to do, Mike.
Mike? I didn't leave them in your car.
Yeah, but you never have left records outside in the car, have you?
No, never have.
So odds are that you've never learned how dumb that really is. So this whole thing has been a lesson...
For me.
For you, Mike.
Yes, it has.
Don't ever leave your records out in the sun.
Well, it's a quarter past two. What time is it? You never will. We have an album side here. Is it all queued up?
Ready never.
Is it all queued up and ready to go?
Yes. Okay, now let's get back to serious business here. This record is called The Birth of Liberty.
Ah.
We listened to a bit of it before. We listened to that Liberty song, and we heard it being made fun of. Now, we're going to hear side one, which has a lot of good songs on it, among them traditional song, The Brickmaker March,
yeah.
Lamentation Over Boston, March for the 3rd Regiment of Foot Lord Amherst, British Grenadiers, Song on
We were. Thank you. vote can sanctify the ways. It makes the patriot turn his coat. It makes the patriot turn his coat. And money we must raise. And money we must raise. And a taxing we will go. 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 One single thing untaxed at home, old England could not show. For money we abroad did roam, for money we abroad did roam, and thought to tax anew, and thought to tax anew. And a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go. Shall we not make the rascals bend to Britain's supreme power? The sword shall we not to them sin, the sword shall we not to them sin, and let him fall the shower, and let him fall the shower. And a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go. Boston we shall in ashes lay, it is a nest of knaves. We'll make them soon for mercy pray, we'll make them soon for mercy pray, or send them to their graves, or send them to their graves. And a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go, a taxing we will go. We'll force and fraud in one unite to bring them to our hands. Then lay a tax on Dawson's life. Then lay a tax on Dawson's life. And King's tax on the land. And King's tax on the land. And a taxing we will go. A taxing we will go. A taxing we will go. A taxing we will go.
When royal George ruled o'er this land, and loyalty no harm meant, for church and king I made a stand, and so I got preferment. I still opposed all party tricks, for reasons I thought clear ones, and swore it was their politics to make us Presbyterians. And this is law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king will reign, I'll be a vicar of Bray, sir. When Stamp Act passed the Parliament to bring some grist to mill, sir, to back it was my firm intent, but soon there came repeal, sir. I quickly joined the common cry that we should all be slaves, sir. The House of Commons was a sty, the kings and lords were knaves, sir. And this is law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king will reign, I'll be a vicar of Bray, sir.
Now all went smooth as smooth could be. I strutted and looked big, sir. And when they laid a tax on tea, I was believed a Whig, sir. I laughed at all the vain pretense of taxing at this distance, and swore before I'd pay my pence, I'd make a firm resistance. And this is law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king will reign, I'll be a vicar of Bray, sir. When how with drums and great parade march through this famous town, sir, I cried may fame his temple shade with laurels for a crown, sir. With zeal I swore to make amends to good old constitution, and drank confusion to the friends of our late revolution. And this is law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king will reign, I'll be a vicar of Bray, sir. But poor Burgoyne's denounced my fate. The Whigs began to glory. I now bewailed my wretched state, that I was e'er a Tory. By night the British left the shore, nor cared for friends a fig, sir. I'd turn the cat in pan once more, and so became a Whig, sir. And this is law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king shall reign, I'll be a vicar of Bray, sir. I called the army butchering dogs a bloody tyrant king, sir. The commons lords a set of rogues that all deserve to swing, sir. Since fate has made us great and free and providence can't falter, so come till death my king shall be, unless the time should alter. And this is law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king shall reign, I'll be a vicar of Bray, sir.
Oh,
Of Liberty, Music of the American Revolution, our album side for this week. And we heard all sorts of things from that last little tirade from the Continental Harmony Singers, Independence, written by William Billings. And we also heard the American Vicar of Bray, Lovely Nancy, Junto Song, General Scott's March, Song on Liberty, and British Grenadiers, March for the 3rd Regiment of Foot, Lord Amherst, Lamentation of Boston, and we started with the Brickmaker March, all here on The Voice
of Long Island,
where it's 2:42 or 18 minutes to 3 o'clock, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
And we have all kinds of interesting things coming up on this radio-free weekend.
Yeah, like I'm leaving.
Yeah, like Mike's leaving, that's something to look forward to.
Yes, it certainly is, for me at least.
But there is... Uh-oh.
I'm falling asleep here, that's why. Don't mind me too much.
No one minds you too much, don't worry about that. But coming up on Monday...
When the Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant is finally put into operation, Long Island ratepayers can expect their electric bills to rise by 40%. But that may be the least of Shoreham's problems. This Monday at 6 p.m., the Public Interest Radio Show presents an interview with Nora Bredis of the Shoreham Opponents Coalition, who will be discussing the variety of contentions being raised at the currently ongoing Shoreham licensing hearings. To find out why the Shoreham mess is as bad as you've read in the newspapers, tune in this Monday at 6 on WUSB.
I'm Bob Musil. This week on Consider the Alternatives, we present an in-depth look at Nicaragua through the eyes of an American nun who lives and works there. Peggy Healy is a Mary Knowles sister who spent most of the past 5 years working as a nurse practitioner among the poor people of Nicaragua. Join me and Sister Peggy Healy for an exclusive and personal look at Nicaragua, life 3 years after the revolution. This week on Consider the Alternatives.
And that's Consider the Alternatives.
And that's also a Public Interest Radio Show.
Yeah, they're consecutive. Consider the Alternatives comes right after the Public Interest Report, Mondays at 6:30.
Hey, you should see what just flew in here.
What just flew in here? Another
one of those lightning bug type things.
You mean a firefly?
Yeah.
Wow, aren't fireflies neat?
They are.
They certainly are. And you know something that's appeared in my neighborhood over the past couple of weeks? The mockingbird.
Oh, he's back again.
He's back. I think it's the same one, too.
Wow.
And he's noisy as
It's all get out, huh?
Yeah, you better believe it.
It drives everybody crazy. I wonder where he went for the winter.
I don't know, but I'm sure.
Or if it's even a he.
It's whatever it is. It's pretty mixed up,
yeah.
And it's a very good one too. He knows all the birds. He does blue jays. He does sparrows. What other kinds of birds are there? Pigeons, I think. Mourning doves. I think he does a good mourning dove.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's really good. Very talented bird. And if you have a mockingbird of your own that you think is more talented than my mockingbird, well, maybe we should have a contest.
Get them both on here.
Yeah. Well, I have a good mind to record them. To go outside with a tape recorder and just record all the different sounds that he makes. Except then he probably wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Mockingbirds are like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is for sure, this eclipse coming up is going to confuse all the animals.
No, it won't.
Why not? To have a moon come out, go away, and come out again? Wouldn't that confuse you?
Well, doesn't that usually happen with clouds?
Yeah, I suppose.
It's not as if it was a solar eclipse.
Yeah, it is well, that could happen with clouds, too. I mean, a really heavy cloud layer can cover up the sun almost totally.
Yeah, but that's gradual, you know.
True. This is gradual as well. So, tune in for the eclipse. We'll be broadcasting it live.
We will?
Well, no, actually we won't, but anybody can take part in it. All you have to do is look outside at about 2:30 in the morning.
Tuesday morning, right?
Tuesday morning, yes.
Yeah, right when everybody has to go to work the next day.
Hey, that's the breaks, you know?
Yeah.
I intend to be out there with my field glasses and all kinds of things.
Your
like
opera
that.
Glasses, right?
Yeah, opera glasses. You got it. And it will be lasting, I guess, about 3 hours.
You know, I guess I'm going to be stuck here till 3 o'clock. Cause
it sure looks that way since it's almost 3 o'clock now.
Yeah.
And I got another tune on the turntable.
Well, why don't you turn up the turntable or warm it up or whatever you have to do.
Okay.
Great.
This is good stuff, you know. Thank you.
vibe. Said I lick your belly for me tambourine.
Thank you.
Well, once again, we've reached the end of another voice of Long Island. We did a lot this week. We went all over the place.
Yeah.
Thank you. We tried to unwarp records on the air. We opened the door. We closed the door. We found a new pizza place and.
Yeah, I guess that is about the best news. Finding a real humanoid pizza place.
It's almost like living in Brooklyn.
I think. What?
It's almost like living in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think the best part of that though is actually that the pizza was delivered in a real automobile.
Yeah, a real car.
Yeah.
And so we come to the end of another program. I'm Eric Corley, and for Mike Juhas, I'd like to thank everybody for listening on this 4th of July weekend, and hope you all drive safely and are nice and patriotic and happy and all that kind of thing. And if it sounds like we're exceptionally tired tonight, I guess it's because we are. We don't know why. It must be something pumped into the building.
It's that stuff coming out of the radiator in the other room, I think.
Is that what it is? Well, yeah. Maybe we should turn it off then, because I'm really wondering if I'm going to be able to stumble out of here.
Yeah, Tony White's coming up in a couple minutes.
Okay.
And that is a fact, in fact.
That's a fact.
That is a fact.
That's a good fact.
It is true that Tony White will be coming up.
And you know what else is true?
That it's a Friday night / Saturday morning?
Yes, and it's also true that we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
On The Voice
of Long Island. So once again, I'm Eric Corley, and that over there is
Mike Juhas.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Be good.
And don't do what I wouldn't do.
Unless you really want to.
Yo. Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the Locarno. Themselves from drunken stacks.